In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Caroline Swan, and Jonah Wilson, as we talk about how to bellow a yes to God. Hello and a very warm welcome to What the Prophets Say podcast with me, Emma Stark. We are once again in our happily newly created studio in Glasgow, the headquarters of the Global Prophetic Alliance, ensconced in our comfortable armchairs so that we are relaxed enough to be able to push back and forward with what God is saying and doing in the earth. We are revealing the voice of God to the nations. I am joined, loyal listeners, by two voices you will know. And one of them, I actually got a text message about your last broadcast. Caroline Swan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Emma, how are you?
Because of the glory of your Northern Irish accent.
People love you.
People love the accent.
I think they love my accent. I think that's what it is.
Well, no, you too.
I mean, too.
It's more than just your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there's a whole song about that. And we love your voice. Oh.
Oh dear. Like moving swiftly on. Okay, don't give up the day job, Emma.
Okay, thank you. And because particularly of the pronunciation of one word. Do you know which word it was? It's the thing you love. You said in the last...
Tractors.
It was your pronunciation of a tractor.
It wasn't. Yes. That's the right way to say it.
Tractor.
No, I didn't say that. I said tractor.
Okay, there we go. Caroline has a deep affinity with the John... Is it Deere or Deere?
John Deere.
Yeah, John Deere.
Oh, we love John Deere in the States. Okay. Love John Deere.
Massey right. Ferguson.
Yeah.
Close second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. It's become a thing. Yeah. And of course, you've heard our beloved American, Jonah Wilson.
Hello.
I don't know what word people like you saying.
Oh, gosh.
Was a very American pronunciation.
I think it's water. Water. Everyone goes water and they overpronunciate what we say, but we just say water.
Yeah.
And they're like, water. I'm like, well, it's not my fault that you guys got rid of the R and have the renunciated R. This all dates back to the Revolutionary War. And you're like, we need to make ourselves look different from the states that rebelled. No, we're going to get rid of the R.
A Hamilton song coming on. You'll be back.
Right, and see, look at me. I'm back in the native lands that I was. My forefathers are from.
But where did the D come from? Water.
I don't know. Actually, that's a great question. That is a great question. Listeners, if you know, tell us in the comments.
I say tomato. You say tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah. Tomato. Tomato.
Okay. Let's move on to prophetic pants.
This is because, dear listener, Caroline Swan, who is a snazzy dresser, is wearing trousers. Americans call them pants.
Pants, yeah.
We do not. Which have newspaper print patterns, imagery,
mm-hmm. imagery
sewn into it, printed onto it.
Yeah.
They are very flouncy and gorgeous. Obviously black and white with little shots of colour. Mm-hmm. And what is the news on your pants? I can't believe that's even a question.
Well, this started because of Jonah when I walked into the office one day and he said, oh, Caroline's wearing her prophetic pants.
I think you need
to clarify that, Jonah. But he said he felt that he sensed I was reporting on the news from heaven.
The news from heaven.
The news from heaven.
By emblazoning it on your trousers.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. And the sense of rising above, I could see you in the spirit rising above the news stories. So even you wearing them on your lower level and you rising above what the news says and really reigning and ruling in authority above the news cycle, above what it's reporting. And then being the prophetic act, I will bring and be a news bearer and a good news storyteller.
Amen, and you
Jonah.
Kept a straight face the whole way through that, Jonah Wilson.
I'll take it, Jonah.
She also has a matching top, though. So depending upon the type of news you're reporting, you can go top or you can go trousers.
No, can we just not, please?
Listen, we've been recording episodes all day today, and loyal listeners, you'll know we've gone into the raw, the vulnerable, Viagra. Yeah. We've talked about it all on this podcast.
Yes, and we've even talked about the names of two potential new podcasts, but we'll keep that hidden.
What do you guys think our podcast names are going to be?
Oh, right.
Operate in Prophetic Anointing and Gifting.
Well, I have to say, Caroline, they are delightfully gorgeous and very fashionable.
Thank you.
There is a bit of a nod into what I hope the Lord never asks us to do, which is some of the wild things of the Old Testament, because I think the prophets do garner attention. They're a sign, they're a wonder. It's a visible demonstration of what God is saying. It's not always very comfortable to be that. But Jeremiah, who hides his underwear in a rock and then puts it back on again, it's covered in holes, and he's it's really unpleasant stuff, really. The unsavoriness of being the sign is not very delightful always. And then, of course, the cooking your food over human excrement, or the preaching naked. I mean, all of that stuff is rough, or, you know, marrying a prostitute as Hosea is asked to do. So perhaps the fact that you've just got trousers or pants, depending on culture, with newspaper print on them.
Yeah, it's pretty bland, isn't it, really? Yes. We're all praying every day that the Lord doesn't give us any of those other assignments. No,
I mean, aren't we just? Yes. I don't really want to be called the Elijah with a Lord of Hair. I mean, who wants to be hirsute?
The good news is you do not see that with any of the female prophets in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, the furry female prophets.
You just see them ruling and reigning. You see Deborah just bringing righteous judgment.
Oh, we'll have more of that, please.
Seriously.
So, Caroline. The Lord gave you a dream.
Yes.
It is a news alert dream. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give us the
headlines?
Yeah, give us the literally the headlines.
Give us the headlines from heaven.
Yeah, so in the dream, I was invited into a group of business people without necessarily being aware that I had any kind of significant role in the meeting. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what the subject area was, but I thought I was going there to spectate. I didn't know why I was there, but when I was there, it very quickly became apparent that they wanted me to share my thoughts and my insight. And I knew in that moment in the dream that I was there to share the word of the Lord and the message of the gospel, but in a very covert way, in that I wasn't to be identifiable as an evangelical Christian. And I started to speak, and it was like, Jesus, please will you help? I have no idea of this, of the subject content, or where this meeting is going, or the aims or objectives. But as I began to speak, my teeth started to fall out. And it wasn't all of my teeth, but it was a lot of my teeth, and there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of blood. And then what complicated the issue in terms of, remember, the point of me being there was to communicate a message, and I was struggling to articulate what I needed to articulate. But the other thing was that some of my teeth, which remained, were pointed and positioned in the opposite direction to what they were meant to be. So not only could I not fully articulate the fullness of the content that I had to share, but also the words were coming out wrong. They were coming out twisted in a way that I was not able to make myself understood.
So give us the interpretation.
So the interpretation, I felt that the Lord was saying that in this season, prophets are being called out of their comfort zone into areas that they have no prior knowledge of, that they don't have any prior experience of. They're being called into the unfamiliar. They're being called into the places, the environments, the situations, the people groups, the nations even, where they haven't already got an education about. They're not planned in terms of they're not very prepared. So it's that sense of not being, not knowing in the natural anything about the situations we're being brought into, but it's very intentional by the Lord. And I felt that what he was saying to me, there needs to be a healthy move away from the platform, because traditionally, that's where the prophets have been. That's almost like the yardstick of a successful prophet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, yes, in certain contexts. Yes.
But it wasn't, it's not that that's wrong or that's changing a lot. It was just more that the scope of the prophet, he was what he was bringing a lot more clarity, because there's a lot more options.
So there's two things there, and they're very helpful. And thank you for sharing that, Caroline. That first portion of, I need to say yes and not say no.
Yes.
And I need to not delay myself by saying I am not yet learned, scholared, educated, that actually the life experience and the training that you've had is enough for the next open door. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very much that sense of what I'm feeling from that. And in all of that, there must be then that leap back into the upper room, the day of Pentecost, where they don't just receive the gift of the known tongue, but in a moment of the brilliance of God, they receive the gift of known language. And people hear them and understand them in their own language. And the trust of God that there'll be things that you are aware that you do not know, but the leaning into the divine and trusting your history with the Lord and that he knows actually is what is exactly required of you in this hour, that your yes and his wisdom that will then course through your veins is the requirement of the R. It's not a day to necessarily run back to say, I need more education, but there is a trusting and a development on the job that the Lord is calling you into.
Yeah, I think a lot of individuals disqualify themselves because they're not in a quote unquote full-time ministry position.
Yes.
And I think the church has done a disservice to individuals that have been called to the marketplace or called to business, and yet the Lord has called them to be a prophet, to be a mouthpiece of God to those places. And I even have a friend that I remember, he would be in green rooms and he had just transitioned the Lord. He was running for a very well-known ministry in Orlando, a house of prayer, and he was in there 60 hours a week volunteer.
Wow.
And the Lord calls him and says, I need you to give me more time. And he says, Lord, I've been in the prayer room 60 hours a week. How do I give you more time? And he said, I need you to pick up a full-time job. I need you to quit the job that you're in the house of prayer. And he had to go get a job at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, my word.
And there was this sense of, Lord, why? But the Lord was teaching him something in that. And I think there's a lesson to be learned for the church, because he would then go to green rooms and they're like, how's that Cracker Barrel job going for you? And laughing at him. And there's this sense of disqualifying the individual when actually, and you'll hear this not just on what the prophets say, but across what we're talking about, because it's the sign and the season, the Lord's calling us out of being court prophets and into the wildness of Amos, and really being that go out and be a farmer, or go out and raise something, or go out into the world and produce, and I'm actually teaching you something in that.
So that sense, Jonah, of out of, I think you're pushing into out of mindsets of institutionalization and out of mindsets of what would be a valid measurement of success in yesteryear. But for me, it's the comfortableness in the uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not familiar days, and that is okay. I have a couple of friends in mind, even as you started to share the dream, Caroline. It's funny how the Lord does that. Who are yes type people. Many of us are yes type people. We've given repetitive yeses, but another level of yes that comes must then make you feel uncomfortable in that it is outside of known paths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's, and this is the verse I've been sitting in for the season. It's Paul saying, I know what it means to sit in much or less, whether it's a church giving me finances today or I'm asking them to give it back. And this isn't just a finance conversation. This is around really keeping you in the uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it's so funny, the conversations as I've transitioned here into full-time ministry.
Yeah.
And I think we sometimes highlight it as this, like, this is the place to go, and you're going to now have so much more time mm-hmm. with the Lord. And it was so interesting yeah. for me when I was in a full-time corporate job working 40 hours a week and then somehow still having a grace to do 20 hours a mm-hmm. week of ministry and discipleship calls. And then I find myself here sitting mm-hmm. in 40 hours a week, if you will, of ministry. I'm like, Lord, there's a new level of uncomfortability in the full-time ministry. Why is that, Lord?
Yes, and people do think that yeah. full-time ministry is a panacea and a cure for all ills. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it's more deeply exposing.
It really is.
Because actually, the Lord does talk about double testing. You know, I'm shorthanding that. But a high expectation that he has of those who do live semi-Levitically or Levitically before him.
Yeah.
My interest, I want to push into it more, Caroline, is if from our own lived experience collectively and individually, the Lord seems to like his pioneers
yes.
in perpetual uncomfortableness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's good reason for that. If you have the privilege of the edge of his glory and the cutting edge of his voice, he is very happy that you live on your knees.
Yeah.
And on your knee living is comes from uncomfortableness. And this, and I think there is the right moments of consolidation and the right moments of I just need a wee break now and a bit mm-hmm. of peace mm-hmm. In the best sense of that. And then I think he's like, well, let me just push a wee bit here. And and that's really what the dream is symbolizing. We'll come yeah. to the second part of it, of the teeth in a minute, but it's okay to not have your ducks in a row.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think that is the message there, because it's interesting that Jonah's experience is he has been sent from the corporate,
right.
from the marketplace
yes.
to full-time ministry. In the dream, I was taken into a business meeting. Mm-hmm. That's me out of my comfort zone
yeah.
because my background was health.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think the message is the being uncomfortable, and becoming comfortable with the unfamiliar.
Yes, and the fact that it's not even I don't have my ducks in a row. I don't even know what my ducks are called or where yes. they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know.
But are you comfortable enough to live in the uncomfortable and to be led by the Spirit? And that's why I think that verse of
I didn't even know I had ducks.
To be fair, didn't that one time you did you have chickens at one point, or did you talk about wanting to have chickens? I'm trying to remember here.
She's a wannabe swan, right?
Wannabe swan. Okay, there we go.
No, I don't really like swans. Apparently only the queen can eat them. So she's dead.
Long live the queen.
I wonder, is she eating it today?
In heaven.
In heaven, yeah.
Sorry, focus.
No, focus, time for something spiritual. No, but there is that yeah. sense of the scripture, I know what it means to live in everything and to be led by the Spirit. That's really what Paul yeah. is getting at. It's not even about finance. It's not even just about that.
And that then pushes into the concepts of where is comfort
yeah.
and where is hope.
Someday he's a tent maker. Sometimes yeah. he's just living off of what he's stored up. Sometimes the congregation is giving him his finances. Mm-hmm. Like in the mm-hmm. uncomfortability, but yeah. being led by the Spirit always.
And the second part of that dream, Caroline, is the pushing into tongue-tied, teeth mm-hmm. out, things said back to front the wrong way.
Yeah.
And yet still being valuable in the place mm-hmm. and the fear of I don't have wisdom for this place, but still being the sent one to the place.
Yeah, and also having there being a bit of a crisis moment.
Yes.
In these places.
Because the world is shaking and yeah. currency mm-hmm. is being devalued and inflation rates are rising, and we've said an awful lot about that.
Yeah.
And to the point where I'm like, Lord, do we have to keep saying it again? But the Lord's saying, you got to prepare. You got mm-hmm. to get prepared
yeah.
for seasons of uncomfortableness and figure out where your cohort is and who you belong to
yeah.
for sustainability and survival and thriving in the days ahead.
Yeah, yeah. There was very much a sense in the dream that I had a choice mm-hmm. of stopping when my teeth started to fall out. Or I had a choice of saying, Lord, I choose to trust in you. I will stay to the end of my assignment. And obviously it sounded weird. I looked stupid. I mean, it was all that sense of, can you imagine trying to speak and trying to articulate and trying to formulate words properly with, you know, with your teeth falling out and with them being positioned in
backwards.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, I know the dream was definitely for me because my background is such that, you know, when you come from academia, it's like the yardstick of success is being prepared, being qualified, being
having papers written,
having done
and
the work,
reviewed.
Having done the study.
Yes.
And actually, you know, I have to fight that battle too. And I know the dream was for me as well. But it was also the Lord saying, look, now is the time where we're moving into times and seasons and situations and scenarios and environments where that is no longer the yardstick of success.
Yeah. And you've got to be comfortable with your history with God. He has proved himself faithful, and that is sufficient. And actually, we do know what holiness is, and we do know what it is not. And we already have that standard well woven into us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think even as you're talking again, it's reminding me back to a prophetic word a couple of years ago. You spoke, Emma, about how God's reshaping education, education, I think it was government and then like business.
And health.
And health. That was the healthcare system.
And I mean, actually, the reshaping of education and healthcare, I certainly remember prophesying.
I don't remember what the third one is.
I need to go and have a wee look at my notes.
Yeah, but, so give us grace.
But no, it's fine. But it's very much, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing new universities develop, old universities being shaken and shut at the tertiary level.
Yeah.
And real different movements afoot amongst the healthcare system. And I actually think some of the healthcare coming back in and will need to come back into the hands of the people of God to restructure.
Yes. But think about it. Every healthcare hospital originally, if you look at the roots of hospitals, they were created by the church.
Yeah.
And then we handed them back out into the public's hands.
I do think the wellness portion is the responsibility of the church, and we have to get uncomfortably pushed by the Lord to go back to take responsibility for what is a kingdom assignment on many of our lives. And that will take great entrepreneurial courage and a great stridency of believing that God is going to show up, that he's true to his word, that you are a solution, that he is a solution inside of you. And so we're back around to the size of your yes being vitally important. You have to be listening to this shouting almost and not keeping it as an internal sound, but the shouting of a loud yes. And you can go with that as a whisper initially, but it will have to bellow from you at some point. Yeah. You'll have to hear your whole frame resonate and tremble with the size of the yes to God again in this epoch of time. Otherwise, you're likely of a regression if you cannot command your being into a new yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually felt after the dream, as I was processing it with the Lord, there's that sense of it's outside of business, but it's everything marketplace. So it is health, it is education, it is government.
Yeah.
It's all those different spheres. But also he would give us very, very specific blueprints.
Yeah.
And we would all be involved in that entrepreneurial journey, but we would have to give our yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and it's that sense of business ideas. There would be innovation. There would be solutions that were purely heavenly. It is like the news reporting from heaven that would be brought into every sphere of society. And I felt almost like the sadness or the grief in the Lord's heart that the focus has been on the platform because these areas need us as prophets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside just the mountain of religion, if we phrase that way.
That's right.
I would say that for any decent prophet, the majority of their work is off platform.
Yeah.
And platform is where we see them.
And it's an ability for you to see and reach a lot of individuals. But if you look at even Jesus's model,
yeah,
it was really, the purpose was the 12 and the 72 and the 144, I think. How are they influencing mm-hmm. change within mm-hmm. the 12? If mm-hmm. at the end of the day, Jesus left and the 12 didn't do their role, that would have been a challenge for the church to continue if the 12 didn't actually learn what it looked like to then become apostles.
Yes, I think these days, forgive me for broad brushstroke categorizations of mankind here. I do find that in the back rooms, whether it's a politician or a celebrity, they are as dust as they are. We are all. Mm-hmm. We are all dust. They do have different weight of decisions, though, mm-hmm. that are much more consequential for world situations. And the aim is not, can I get to prophesy over the rich and famous? The aim is, can I hold the voice of God for whatever context I am in?
Yeah.
And can I be trustworthy? And can I say yes mm-hmm. Where I don't feel loving, can I love? Where I don't feel like I know your world as a politician, I only observe it from a distance. Can I trust the Lord to move through me that I might mm-hmm. have language
yes.
and not fawn but bow the knee wrongly and become awe-inspired in that place? But can I be respectful enough and therefore be useful? And there is an mm-hmm. absolute balancing act to follow in that place where you are mm-hmm. respectful, but you carry enough authority, because in those spaces, authority recognizes authority.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I find that in those rooms, they recognize that in the handshake and the eye contact that they have authority in their realm, and the prophet has authority in their realm. And you meet in that place and there's a mutual respect for the positions that you've been given by the Lord as functions in the earth. And some of the real heavyweight stuff happens there. And you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't. Mm-hmm. Because how could you possibly know what it's like to run a national security service or the major economic bank of that region and those groups of nations? You couldn't know mm-hmm. what it is to stand in their shoes, but you stand in the uncomfortableness of not knowing, but also in the security of your authority in God.
Seriously.
And it's quite a learn. I know who you are, God.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And you always come through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think even what you're speaking to is mm-hmm. the prophet Daniel and how mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar, I think there was a recognition before he even truly knew who Daniel was. There was this recognition of the authority that he carried and this sense of, even though Nebuchadnezzar was worshiping other mm-hmm. gods, he saw in Daniel, there's something that you carry in the way that you worship your God. Mm-hmm. And there's a fear that you have inside of you that I actually look at you as an authority in the space. And I want to hear your interpretation in these mm-hmm. things, because it carries weight.
I don't often remember in the many decades that we've done this, and I suppose asking you guys the same question, I don't remember ever feeling particularly comfortable in delivering revelation. Let me explain that. I know God. I know his voice. I'm well practiced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a nervous sort. But there is always the sense of, you want to do your best job for whoever is in front of you.
Yes.
And you are always looking to be shocked by what comes out of your own mouth, because if you're prophesying what you know, what good is that?
Mm-hmm.
You're prophesying actually what God is saying, not what you already know, and have information of your prophesying revelation. And so I think the lifestyle is always a yes, and it's a increasing journey into increasing levels of the uncomfortable, but being comfortable in the uncomfortable, and comfortable that God comes through in areas that you're not critically acclaimed in. And so if we tell you anything else, oh, you look like a pro, Yes, because you learn to look like that. Mm-hmm. But the internal mm-hmm. world is highly dependent on the Lord. So I think from that dream and where we're going, I wouldn't want anybody to be here going, oh, well, there must be a day where I am in my destination and suddenly I know what I'm doing. No, I don't think that's ever the journey. I don't think the journey is ever I am slick. I think the journey is always I am perpetually dependent. And if you are any other way, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, there's definitely a sense of the success, if you like, being dependent on the willingness to say yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yes. Jonah, final thought?
Well, as we were sitting in earlier episodes and recording, and you'll hear these episodes, you were talking about even the journey of individuals with sexual desires and things like that. And you're like, mm-hmm. I'm not so caught up in you being healed right here and right now. I'm caught up on the journey of, are you leaning on him?
Yes.
And I think that's the reiterated message here. Mm-hmm. And I was just really struck in sitting with the Lord, you know, as we uncover and remove empire inside of each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. He's not so caught up in us being so fully mm-hmm. anti this thing and it's out of us. It's more, okay, you've recognized that these are things that are not of my kingdom. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to continually, day by day, be pruned to allow these things mm-hmm. to be removed from you?
Continually, yes.
Continually, mm-hmm. yes.
Continually surrendered. Actually, continually comfortably uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And hearing your own life bellow its yes.
Absolutely.
To remember that that is who you are.
Yeah, it's the reality of the scripture. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me.
Galatians 2:20, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We've been glorious, and he is more glorious, and I hope you've been sharpened. See you soon. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.